but where we're going, what our dreams are, what's important to us, what we think about. I guess in my own life, I would say it's true, and in the lives of others, those things that you enjoy or think about or are part of what you dream about, you'll find yourself almost sometimes subconsciously moving toward those. Those things become a part of who you are and what you do. And all of a sudden you wake up and you're kind of, I'm here, I'm not sure how I got here. I think part of that is God's blessing and God's providence in our lives, but part of it is what we think about becomes who we are, and we begin to prepare ourselves for those things and do those things, and they become important to us. So the lesson in that is this. It's important, the things about which we dream and about what which we do and those things that we prepare for and that we spend our time thinking about. Because they will impact our lives, just like the people that we're around impact us. And I think a large reason that the people that we're around impact us is because their views and thoughts become a part of us. We begin to think about the things that they say and do and who they are. We're impacted by them. It's like we're impacted by our family, because most all of us, if not all of us, there's something our parents said or did that we said, I'll never say it or do it. And then what happens? One day, we hear it coming out of our mouths. And we go, I wasn't going to say that. Or maybe I never said I wasn't going to say it, but when I was a kid or whatever, I got tired, and then all of a sudden, I'm saying it. Why? I didn't think about saying it. It just becomes a response. It becomes who we are. And Paul will write to the Philippians as he begins to close this letter out, and he talks to them about, what are you dwelling on? What's important to you? And part of that is going to be influenced by what we feed ourselves. I'm not talking about what we put into our stomachs, but what we feed our minds. And we've talked about that many times. But what we dream about, what we think. Let's look at Philippians 4:8 for just a second. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about those things. The Scripture will talk about, the Old Testament will talk about God's despising, God's anger toward those who not only do evil deeds, but who lay in wait. Those who plan evil schemes, that their minds are on that. It's interesting, in the time of Noah, not only were their actions evil, but what does the Genesis account say? Their thoughts were evil. From the time they got up to the time they went to bed, their thoughts were on things that were evil. But Paul tells the Philippians and then to us, we ought to think about those things that are good. And he's not just talking about love and peace, although those are good things that we ought to think about, but what things are admirable, what things are noble, what things bring about good. We ought to think about those things that bring about good. Because if we're thinking about those things, what will we find? And I believe this is truth, that those actions will begin to come out in our own lives. If we're thinking about good things, if we're thinking about how we can help others, if we're thinking about how our lives can make a difference, a universal figure worldwide, if I mention the name Mother Teresa, what's your thoughts? Good or bad? They're good. Good. I don't know her personally. Didn't know, but what's her reputation? What was her life? caring for those in an impoverished place and taking care of their needs. Now, here's what I can assure you of. This wasn't a lady who just went about doing good things. This was a lady whose attitude and whose thoughts were about serving God and helping the needs of others. It became who she was, because people don't have positive thoughts about her, which I think are deserved, just because she did those things, but she embodied caring for others, because she was willing to surrender herself and take care of the needs of others. And the way that that becomes our very nature is that what we think about? So, let's look to the other side of that. If our lives are not going in the direction that we want them to go, if our relationship with God is not going in the direction we want it to go, if our service to God and to others is not going in the direction that we want it to go, what's the first place we probably, the first thing we probably ought to think about? What am I thinking about? What am I dwelling on? What's important to me? What catches my attention? Because if my mind and my thoughts are here, and I want my actions to be over here, I can force that to some degree, but where are my actions going to always want to come back to? Here, where my thoughts are. Where my thoughts are. That's why people are drawn very often to what their talent is. Sometimes to the frustration of others, right? They might be doing something, but they really want to be a musician. So what are they doing every time they get a break? Writing a song or picking a guitar or something. Why? Because that's where their heart is. They're just doing the other, but that's where their heart is. And the same thing is true for our service to God. If our heart is in being a servant, if our heart is in serving God, then our actions will follow that. But if our mind is really on lots of other things, but we know we ought to be here, we say, well, I'm going to do this, then what it becomes at best a checking off of a list. At best, it becomes a checking off of a list. And what we'll find is it's even hard to do that. But if we want our life really to reflect godliness, we have to move our thoughts and our hearts there. Think about things that are admirable and noble. Those things are good, because if we think them, we will live them. If we think them, that we'll live them. And so, to be practical, what does that mean? Well, I'm just going to think noble thoughts. I got to tell you, if that was your New Year's resolution, I'm going to think noble, admirable thoughts, I bet you've already missed it. Because what does that really mean? I'm not saying the Apostle Paul's wrong. I'm not arguing with him. But Paul is not just talking about something lofty up here. What Paul is saying to the Philippians and to us is that we need to think about things that can be a part of our lives that are admirable and noble. Not just the thoughts of what other folks have done or just great, great thoughts. And I've told you about my college experience about trying to study the six great ideas. I have no idea what they were. I didn't get them. I can tell you, I didn't grasp it. Didn't mean anything. But it's not just to talk about pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, not to think about just those great attributes that are not attainable or something that will never be in my life. What Paul is saying is, let's think about and dwell on and have become a part of our very nature and desire those things that are good that we can do. So, to pull that down, let's think about what can I do? What are good and noble things that I can do, and begin to think about those? Who do we admire? I think it's a good question for all of us. For young people especially, but for all of us. Who do we look up to? Who do we admire? Go ahead, tell me who you admire. God, all right? So, in admiring God, you want to be more like God. You just will. It's exactly what Jesus said about choosing who you're going to serve, right? Choose which master you're going to serve, because you can't serve them both. Because you'll love one and hate the other, right? But philosophies or individuals that we respect and admire, what will we find? That we will begin to take on their thoughts. We will begin to emulate their actions if we know them. If we read books about individuals, why do we typically read them? Sometimes for entertainment, but very often to learn something, right? Why do coaches read coaching books? To try to learn something, I think. Or maybe because they don't want to read math books. I don't know. So, but to try to learn something. And most of us like to read books about individuals who have some interest similar to ours that we can learn some things from, that we can learn from them. So if the folks that we admire, that we look up to, the folks that we read their views, their philosophies, if they're not noble and admirable, if they're not godly, then what should we expect the outcome of that to be for us? It's not going to produce those things in us if it didn't in them, right? Can someone be intelligent and not be someone we should emulate? Absolutely. Can someone be unintelligent? The reason I say that is very often we're intimidated. Somebody's really intelligent. But I'm going to tell you, when the Scripture talks about how to differentiate between people, how do you do that? By their words, by their fruit. By their fruit. Because what can happen about words? Even the elect could be drawn away. Isn't that what the Scripture says? That there are people who can make persuasive speeches about ideas and philosophies, but if you look at the outcome of their lives, is it positive or is it negative? What about their relationships? I remember an individual talking about someone he knew who was a nationwide figure, and I won't call this lady's name, but this person's comment was, she leaves people in her wake. And he didn't mean that as a compliment. That she gets what she wants and she moves on and they're floating in the water. And that was her reputation. So, no matter what she might say about care, concern, and compassion, what did that person know? It ain't real. It's not real. It's not who she is, because it's not what she was producing. Paul would say, he doesn't tell them just to change their actions, but to change about what they think. What they think. What's going on in their minds. Because that will be what will make a difference in our lives. What we think about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. So Paul, to these people that he loves, and my final thought to all of us is, think about things that are good. Follow and emulate people who are heading in a direction that you want to go. And I hope that direction is to godliness. I'm going to leave that as an understood. But follow people that are going where you want to go. Think about things that move us toward godliness, because we're fooling ourselves if we think that we can live godly lives and think worldly thoughts. The two just don't go together. Light has nothing to do with darkness. Now, do we have to live in the world and survive? We do. But if we're going to chase those goals, then our lives will never reflect godliness. Because it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out. It's what we think that makes a difference in our lives. So let's think about those things that are good. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.
That thou mightst ransom me.